Our guest for the hour is the renowned filmmaker and author John Pilger. He's just come across the Atlantic from Britain. He's made over 50 films. And we're going to play an excerpt of one of them, which is called Stealing a Nation, which deals with the island of Diego Garcia, largely the Chagos Islands. And in the last few weeks, we read a headline about how natives of the Chagos Islands in the Indian Ocean have won a major new legal victory in their long-term battle to return home. British forces expelled the islanders 40 years ago to make way for a U.S. military base at the archipelago's largest island, Diego Garcia. Let's turn to an excerpt for background. This film, Stealing a Nation, produced by John Pilger.
This is Diego Garcia, the main island of the Chagos group in the Indian Ocean. It was once a phenomenon of natural beauty and peace, a paradise. Today, it is one of America's biggest military bases in the world. There are more than 2,000 troops, two bomber runways, 30 warships, and a satellite spy station.
B-1 and B-52 long-range bombers extended their reach from the British base at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean.
From here, the United States has attacked Afghanistan and Iraq. The Pentagon calls it an indispensable platform for policing the world.
Missile launch right, 3 o'clock.
Diego Garcia is a British colony. It lies midway between Africa and Asia, one of a group of unique coral islands. This is rare film taken by missionaries before the Americans came in the 1960s. 2,000 people lived in the Chagos Islands, a gentle Creole population originally from Africa and India, whose communities dated back to the late 18th century. They were thriving villages, a school, a hospital, a jail, a church, a railway, and above all, a benign, undisturbed way of life.
Excerpt of Stealing a Nation by John Pilger. John, take it from there.
Well, Stealing a Nation, I don't often use the word incredible, but when I started to look into this extraordinary story, I thought it was incredible. It became especially so when a group of us found classified files in the Public Record Office in London, which revealed just how the American and British governments had conspired to expel the entire population of this British colony, all of them British citizens, and dump them in the slums of Mauritius, 1,000 miles away, and how the deal was set up. Britain got $14 million off the cost of a Polaris submarine as a thank you for giving them the Chagos Islands. The Americans wanted Diego Garcia because it almost qualifies as the most perfect place in the world. It's one of the few places in the Indian Ocean that wasn't struck by the tsunami, which is why they wanted it. It is quite literally a paradise. The expulsion was done with coercion, with trickery. People who'd gone to Mauritius to see relatives weren't allowed back, or gone for health care weren't allowed back. And then finally, when they couldn't really get the rest of the population to leave, they started killing their pets. They shot their dogs. And when the Americans arrived, they used American military equipment to gas the dogs. And the message was clear: you're next unless you go. And finally, two ships, you know, it's evocative of so many expulsions like this, two ships took the remaining, mostly women and children, and dumped them in Mauritius. And then the world heard almost nothing about them. for quite some years, until the people themselves in Mauritius started to demonstrate outside the British embassy there, and a long struggle began. In the meantime, as you've said, the third biggest US overseas base was built, and the longest runways. Afghanistan was attacked from there, Iraq was attacked from there. There's something I should say to me of a metaphor about what happened to Diego Sia for so much of how power imposes itself and disregards the lives and resources of people. And the hypocrisy as well. You might remember it's now 25 years since Margaret Thatcher sent the Royal Navy down to the Falkland Islands to rescue 2,000 white Falkland Islanders and kick the Argentines out. Well, there were 2,000 Chagos Islanders whom the British Army kicked, the British governments kicked out themselves. Of course, the key difference was that the Chagos Islanders are black. And again, that's a critical element of how power works and who has priority. So now we bring it up to when these documents are found, and some of these documents are, as I say, incredible. You have the senior legal advisor to the British Foreign Office with a document headed Maintaining the Fiction, coaching British officials how to lie, how to describe an indigenous population as a floating population. Let's rebrand them contract workers. They tried everything. You have other documents talking about how we should lie to the United Nations, saying that the islanders agreed to all this, and of course they didn't. Other documents, which we got out of the Freedom of Information Act in this country, showing how the US wanted these islands swept, and that was the word that was used, swept of people completely. And in the year 2000, after a long struggle and some tenacious work by a number of lawyers, one of whom, Richard Gifford, really only discovered the islanders when he went to Mauritius on holiday and heard about them. In the year 2000, the High Court invoked the Magna Carta, which says that you can't be expelled from your homeland. It's something that George W. Bush might be interested in. That is the basis for all civilized law. And here we have now the islanders who've won an appeal.
I want to just play a clip, one more clip from Stealing a Nation, where you discuss the British government making the claim that Diego Garcia did not have an indigenous population. This is a clip.
They said the islanders didn't really belong to the Chagos, but were merely temporary contract workers. Foreign Office Memorandum, July 1965.
People were born there, and in some cases their parents were born there too. The intention is, however, that none of them should be regarded as being permanent inhabitants of the islands.
So how would they be regarded?
The legal position of the inhabitants would be greatly simplified from our point of view, though not necessarily from theirs, if we decided to treat them as a floating population.
Foreign Office Memo, November 1965.
There is a civilian population. In practice, however, I would advise a policy of quiet disregard. In other words, let's forget about this one until the United Nations challenges on it.
An excerpt of Stealing a Nation, Juan.